Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you that you gave us your word, saying, where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst, Lord. We're gathered in your name, so we count it a great privilege, knowing that you are here, Father, and here in a way that you haven't been here for 2,000 years. Also giving us a revelation of yourself by the Holy Spirit. We appreciate that so much. And the truth is, Lord, that we are getting more and more in the home with the understanding and more a part of us. And we just pray that tonight we'll continue that, Lord, in the rest and peace of our God, to know thee whom to know right is life eternal. And to know the truth, Lord, which sets us free, to know the doctrine which is of God. Help us at this end, Lord. We'll give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this is number 23. And I do hope we can finish tonight, but I really don't know. Number 23, the greatest battle ever fought. Now, in this message, we have seen that the battles on every hand and at all times can be won only by the application of the Word of God. Now, that's the truth. We have a warfare. That warfare is consistent. It happens to all of us, and we go through it not once, but it's an entire lifetime. And this warfare, of course, is made up of many battles. And this message that Brother Branham has preached to us by the power of the Holy Spirit through revelation lets us know that only by the application of the Word through mental processes can we actually win the victory, or in other words, have God intervene on our behalf and make us more than conquerors. Now, it is to be noted specifically that the word we use and must use is the Word of God, and it is not a product of the human mind, though entertained by the human mind. It is something from God Himself. Now, the human mind then is actually only a channel that is to be used by this Word of God or used with this Word of God. However, it's a very unfortunate thing that this channel of the mind used for the Word is also the channel used to convey the carnal and unspiritual assessments as well as the Word of God. Now, what you've got here, strange to say, well, it's like the pipelines. You can run gas through the pipeline. You can run coal oil through the pipeline. You can run a composition of coal, which has been brought to dust particles, and put in a fluid condition through some type of fluid. You can run it through the line. And you're looking at the fact that what you and I are can actually glorify God or actually not glorify Him. We're looking at the one lump that all people are made of, and a vessel to honor, a vessel to dishonor. So what you're seeing here is this critical condition that the mind can be used as the channel of the pure, perfect Word of God in great faith, or it can be used as a channel that is just about as rotten as the flint, the great pornographers. And that's it. So you got a problem. That's a problem. The channel, unfortunately, and yet fortunately, because it's not all bad, goes either way. Spiritually by the Word of God, or carnally by our own thinking and our own understanding. The battle, then, is to keep the mind from absorbing and contemplating and deciding in favor of those thoughts or assessments that are contrary to the Word of God. Now, we get help from God on this. For this requires God's own Holy Spirit in our souls to teach us to refuse to fear to step out on God's Word. Now, that's the thing that happens to the individual. Due to the constant assessment and appraisal, the constant learning from nature and from others, in other words, this cosmos world which we're a part of, has ill-fitted us to be spiritual-minded people. So God helps us by His Holy Spirit. And He desires to teach within our souls to refuse to fear to step out on God's Word, because That's the great fear there is. If I step out on the Word of God, can I make it? Now, Peter started out very beautifully when he walked on water. Remember, he had that imperfect faith. And man, he began to sink afterward. And that's what you're noticing here, that we have to depend on God to get rid of this fear. Now, rather than fear to trust God, we must learn to fear not to trust God. See, as it says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. And in Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So you put these verses together, you can see that we should walk in the fear of the Lord, which is fearful lest we step outside the realm of Scripture and give way to the unscriptural. Now you understand that we within ourselves, we have this battle. It's a very powerful battle, but we have not been left helpless. The Bible says, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And actually, I can do all things through Christ who gives me inward strength. So greater is he that's in us than we ourselves. And greater is he that's in us than that's in the world. So we are actually in a formal position through faith by the Holy Ghost, buttressed by the Word of God, to be more than conquerors. But you know what the human mind's like. But this is where the Western mind has never been compatible with the Eastern mind. The Eastern mind has learned to use controls, but the Western mind has not done so. So it's a very difficult thing in this hour, but it can be done. Now, in this message, we have noticed the holistic approach taken by Brother Branham. It is that the revealed Word of God is given to us for body, soul, and spirit, as it says in 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all else that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the presence of the Lord, presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a very special holistic understanding in this last hour wherein the bodies will not die but be transfigured into immortality. And so Paul is praying this the same as John prayed. And remember, John uses the same statement concerning not be ashamed in his presence. And if you just remember the verses we read in 1 John concerning the fact that we handled the Word of Life, we saw it, we're fully acquainted, and now we're telling you so that you can be in the same position we are in, though having not seen, you can love just as fervently and have just as great a fellowship as we have. Then he tells these people here as he's looking down the road, because remember, it was in John's day that Jesus said, some of you here shall not taste death until you see the Lord coming in his kingdom. And it didn't say that, of course, that the man would live until the literal coming, but it was in the figure. And John saw that. So in that hour, there was no doubt the avid hope, and Paul had it too, that there would be a literal return of the Lord Jesus Christ to set up that kingdom rather than a long, long way down the road. So he's saying there concerning his treatise to the people, now look, you can have exactly what I have, and I don't want you to be ashamed of his coming, so therefore I wish above all else you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, which brings us to the conclusion in this hour, how prosperous the soul of the bride is in this last day, that she will not deteriorate. Now she'll go through a lot of problems, but she will not die. But she will be carried on into the millennium via the way of the rapture, the wedding supper in the air, and the crowning of him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And also we notice in 2 Thessalonians, it is the love of the truth that saves us from Antichrist and at the same time immortalizes us. So there's much to be understood concerning this last great major battle, which, of course,
a great major battle is Elijah coming to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, even though everybody in his own mind, in his own common sense, and being very spiritual and very born again, would know, if I'm born again, who needs Elijah? Right. How is anybody going to believe that? Nobody except a few people. There's no way. There's no way. Who's going to believe in the face of the rampant doctrine which seems so very wonderful to believe that not communism, but ecumenism, with the headship in Rome coming right down, forms the last great time, the last great empire. It's a spiritual thing. It's a church taking over the world. How many are prepared to believe that? Well, they're not prepared at all. No. They don't know that churchianity is going to be the curse. Now, some do, but very, very few know it. And those who do know it, outside of this group, and I speak of those who understand Brother Branham's message, they refuse the prophet. So, therefore, they do not have the true word of God. Their minds are already filled. The channels are clogged. There's no way that they'll comprise a bride. Now listen carefully. It was from the eastern gate, the temple, where the river of Ezekiel flowed. First of all, waters to the ankles, waters to the knees, waters to the thighs, waters to swim in, waters to carry across. And I liken that today to the living waters pouring out of a bride, which would carry her over to the other side, to immortality. Now, how in the world are you going to get the channels flowing with a bunch of debris? Jesus said in the great day of the feast, he cried out and he said, everyone the thirsty said, you the thirsty said, come unto me and drink, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he the Spirit, which was not yet given because Christ was not yet glorified. So how there could there possibly be that great flow at the end time with the people that do not believe the Word of God? So you're looking at all those things. On the last Sunday, we were hearing Brother Branham teach us to use the Word to receive healing. Because you notice Brother Branham kept going back and forth between passive faith and active faith, between doctrinal revelation and personal revelation of how to handle the Scripture, in order to receive the promises of God. And it boiled down, as we said, to where Jesus had his own personal manifestation when he cursed the fig tree. And they came back and said, well, Lord, look at here. The fig tree actually died. We never believed anything like this could happen. This is amazing. This is tremendous. And he said, have the faith of God. That's what he had. And then he said, now if any man says with his mouth and believes in his heart, and absolutely, he can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast and seen, shall not doubt. You'll have those things whatsoever he said. Now, he was telling them what happened to him in this particular case. And then he said, therefore, based upon this, you've seen it happen. When you desire something and you pray, you can have it too. He never said to be casting mountains in the sea and everything else. He just said, a faith of a grain of mustard seed will do it. So that's what you're looking at here. You're looking at Brother Branham using the great message of revelation, the great doctrinal faith which is ours, which healing would never put us into immortality. No way, shape, and form. No way. Nothing will but the sheer word of God for this hour, which is the revelation of him which is the shout, which evokes the voice. So understand that. Let me read it to you over here in the book of Ephesians so that you don't get your wires crossed. Understand very thoroughly. It says here, I say, verse 16, cease not to give thanks, you making mention of you in my prayers. That's Ephesians 1. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. Now they're full of the Holy Ghost. This is not a second blessing, not a further work of grace, except God himself is coming into the bride in the midst, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints. That's the shout Number two, what is the exceeding greatest power to us who do believe, according to the working mighty power which he wrought in Christ and raised from the dead, that's the voice, that's the resurrection, and put him at his own right hand, that's the rapture. So, all right, that's how that takes place. It's but people don't believe this and how it comes, and especially don't receive it when it does come, they're not going to make it. Now, come on, let's be honest. I don't care anybody else this. We're not sitting here like a bunch of wooden ducks or fools. This is the Word of God. And God's of one mind, which is his own mind. And he doesn't change his mind. See, this is what's going to be. Now, who's going to do it? Well, there's only one person can do it. Elijah, seven church age messenger. Put it together, you see it. All right, so then we saw last Sunday, we heard Brother Branham teaching us to use the word to receive healing. And the way to use that word was to come against the disease or the devil or whatever it was by using the word as a weapon of offense. And on page 57, where we'll start reading, we're exhorted to fight by means of the word of God. Now, speaking of this healing, we just read this last Sunday. And that's the fifth paragraph, I suppose you might call it that, or about the fourth from the bottom on page 57. What does he say here? Healing. Healing, sure. Word, word. The word of God is what the Spirit fights with. Now, in other words, he's got to have a conduit. There's got to be something that the Spirit of God can use. So therefore, what is it? It's got to be word. Where is that word? It's got to be in our mouths. The word that we use, the Spirit of God uses. The Spirit of God walks right up to the devil and says, "It is written." Amen. It is written, and the devil goes away. Now, that's a very simplistic statement. It is so simplistic that we, in our intellectual gymnastics, find it very hard to give way to the faith that lies in here. Now, we'll see a little bit about this in the next page. But this is true. Can we accept this as factual? That the Spirit walks right up the devil and says, "It is written," and the devil gives way. Well, that's true. And we must begin to orient ourselves mentally into that particular area. What do? Take the sword, which is the Word of God. Now, he's telling you how the Spirit walks up and whacks the devil. Take the sword, which is the Word of God, and pull it with what? A hand of faith. Strong hand of faith. The two-edged sword. Now, when Brother Brown speaks of the two-edged sword, he is not talking about you and me. He is talking about himself in the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter, in verse 12, where there is discernment, where God is judging by the Word. See? That comes out of 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, 7 to 10. Well, we read that many, many times. Also over there in the book of Luke, where he speaks that shall not let the unjust judge and the woman, he says, shall he not avenge his own? And that word avenge means to set in the light of the truth, where that person is exonerated and given that position. Now, he says here then, looking at himself, that we are to build upon the fact of the theorem principle, and don't doubt it at all, because that was given in manifestation in order for us to believe the true doctrine of Almighty God, which is Hebrews 13 and 8, you might say, which includes Mark 16. So here we are, right where John was. And he said, if you only believe what I'm telling you, based upon what was the personal experience of us as apostles and manifested before the world, because this was not done in a corner, you are participating in this very thing that I am participating in. But, of course, they could not participate as the apostles participated. It wasn't for them. But because that wasn't for them, would that be any excuse to put aside what was for them? You say, no, by no means. If I cannot fit into... If I cannot own a Sherman tank to go out there and level the woods that I need leveled down, at least, bless God, I'll take the little bulldozer. Now you're talking brains. But so many people can't relate to that. See, learn what is yours and what isn't yours. then use what is yours. See, the church is still hodgepodge. Look at the condition women are in. How many, when are we going to teach women to keep their hands off the word and do what God says to do? Well, you got the whole world screaming out, women should preach, women should do this. Women should not do those things. They're not, they cannot do them. We say, look at the great things we're doing because we allow it. You wait a few more days, my brother, my sister. They'll burn in the lake of fire, not because I say so, but the word of God says so. Now take your pick. But you see, people still don't want to be in the position where God places them. See? The background today, and I'm not harping at women, it's just the truth. I'm saying these things. How long will it take women to learn, because of all the wrong teaching and all the wrong pushing, that just being a good wife and mother fully qualifies her to be an outstanding saint in the kingdom of God? She doesn't need a lot of things. It doesn't mean she can't witness and do all. She'll witness and she'll talk the word with her with her brothers and sisters, and she'll live the word and all those things. But you see, now I want to apply that to all of us now, using women as an illustration. When are we going to learn? Well, we will learn, or we're not getting out of here. We saw that. The very book of Romans that tells us that you're transfigured by the renewing of your mind goes right down into ministries and said everybody's got a proportion of faith and everybody ministers according to the proportion and everyone has a measure of faith. So you see, as Brother Branham said, when the church knows who she is and comes to that mind we spoke of the other day in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, all say the same thing. Even if it took 10 people, a bride would get out of here. That's not hard to understand. That's just the truth. Now he says, here, look, he said, this Hebrews 4 and 12. He said, it's a two-edged sword, and it cuts both coming and going. Well, I think that's great. In other words, then, you've got a sword that actually moves in both directions, so you've got an awful lot of ability there in this spirit-revealed word, but I think it's more than that. I believe what he's saying here, you've got a sword that cuts all the binding off of you so that you are unencumbered. So you've got a word to unencumber you. You've got a spirit-revealed word manifested, vindicated, so that now, he said, here, that which is upon the mind, and upon, you know, like Brother Brandon mentioned, a sharp sword cutting that all away, the same as God rent the veil from the bottom, from the top to the bottom, showing, bringing into full view all of God in the mercy seat. Well, the same thing has happened now. That sword has so worked. It worked in the prophet's hand to make sure that everything he thought and what he thought he knew was completely cut away. And then by the same token, fight the enemy. So you've got a double-bladed sword here, which in using is a great cleanser to cut away all the things that are wrong with us and then launch out right there and go to the enemy and get rid of him. So it's a two-edged sword. All right. Now he says, a brother, what does he do? Takes the word. Take the spirit. Let the spirit come into your heart. Open up your mind and say, thy word is truth. Now notice, there is no way outside of the Holy Ghost revealing it you can say, thy word is truth. There's no way. Now, we're talking very much in line with what we're looking at here, where Christ came on the scene, Paul came on the scene, Moses was on the scene, William Branham was on the scene. Now, remember when Moses came on the scene and he brought the word, they disputed it. They turned it down. They went right into idolatry and adultery. Now, you notice that Israel, in the promise in the land of Egypt, learned an awful lot of terrible things. Because the heathen are given to terrible practices, which are very, very carnal. So, all right, when they came out, they right away fell in with the Moabites. They went into a sexual perversion, the whole bit, mingling the seed, and everything was wrong before God. And then when Moses disappeared for the 40 days and nights, getting the commandments of God, what did they do? They entered into idolatry and other licentious living. Now, you look at this nation we're in today. You just take the same picture of it. Now, as I say, at that time, Moses' time, Jesus' time, Paul's time, they absolutely turned down the word. They wouldn't take that word to be truth. Now, if you think they wouldn't take Noah's word to be truth, Now, if you think for 1 minute that people are going to listen to this word to be the truth, you have kidded yourself. And I find more and more many people who think they take it the way, at least the way I preach it here, they don't agree with me. No, they don't agree with me. Right now, I'm supposed to be fighting the bride. Well, that's their opinion, certainly not mine. And it's a free country. I wonder when Brother Branham left and the Holy Spirit's the head of the church, I wonder who he's raising up to be a judge. I thought the Word is a judge. I'm willing to tangle with anybody and see how much authority a preacher's got any day of the week. I don't believe a preacher's got any authority, anybody else got any authority. The only holy one is the Holy Ghost. I don't know where people get their ideas. Now it says, thy word is truth. Okay. The conduit of how to be full of the truth by the power of the Holy Ghost, and remember at the same time, it's a very strange thing this is. You start with the Holy Spirit baptism, which in turn opens up the Word, which is the conduit for the Holy Spirit. For in the first place, you hear the Word of God as the gospel of your salvation, which brings the Holy Spirit. Now then, watch what happens again. Piling word upon word and word upon word brings more and more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and coming up to the entire church, the entire Holy Ghost is here now, and the full baptism with the Holy Ghost, the full revelation, the full everything is here. Now let's see that in Ephesians. I beg your pardon. Yes, Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and we start to say verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, start drinking liberally of the Spirit, the flow of the Spirit of God. And absolutely, as you become insensible to liquor, become insensible to everything that is not of God by the Holy Ghost, and sensible then to the things of God. See, there's your channel again. There's your mind. Speaking to yourselves, now watch, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now that tells you what we have to do here, and what you're doing here, and what you're doing in your meetings. Here's you got. Now you get full of the Holy Ghost by speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, make melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that tells you how to get full of the Holy Ghost. To be built up and built up, piling word upon word, and that's what it says here, thy word is truth. So the more we get the truth of this end time message, the fuller we're going to be of the Holy Ghost. And then remember, at the same time, maintain a thankfulness. Now, I don't think we've got too far in maybe some cases in this church, but I see a lot of thankfulness in the church, and there are times when I feel very thankful myself, which I'm very grateful that God would allow me to feel that way. But the thankfulness before God of this word and his kindness and his mercy here is very important to keep before us at all times, walking in that spirit. So you can see then how that we are to go ahead. To take this word, and remember, as we're building ourselves from the passive, the doctrinal aspects, we are in a position to move in the physical or the dynamic. Now, and he says to the girl, and you do this, sister. What's she supposed to do? Say, thy word is truth, Lord. Now watch. I'm not going to pay attention to how I feel, what anybody else says. I'm stopping up. I'm blowing out every one of my avenues. And he said, well, make up your mind. He's stopping up or blowing out. He's doing both. Yeah. He's stopping any more wrong thoughts from coming in, and he's blowing out what's already there. Now, what's there? All the frustrations frustrations, I guess it really is, and doubts and unbelief I have ever had. Every feeling I've ever had. He uses the word you there part-time, doesn't make any difference. All the sickness I ever had. Everything else I ever had. I'm blowing them all out. I'm bypassing all of them and coming right straight to my spirit. I said, I'm going to deal now with nothing that's in the mind that I have by education or by experience. I'm going to deal right with the Spirit. See? Now, O Lord, come down. You said you made me a free moral agent. Now, we're looking at active faith that Brother Branham wants the people to enter into, and especially he's enjoining the young girl there who is dying, that she take this step of faith. Now, you notice here, He is now addressing the present situation. A healing is needed. The mind then must be isolated to the present need. Now that's what you're looking at. The mind must be isolated to the present need. All past experience of every kind dismissed. Concentrate on this and receive what God has for you. It's like entering into a room, see, where you leave everything off before you come into the room, and now you're taking on something new. You must be willing to shed everything in the mind to receive that mind of Christ and the fine faith that comes out of that word. Now, notice Brother Branham said here, calling upon the Lord. Now, I'm bypassing everything in the past, present, future to call upon the Spirit of God. And as I do, I'm saying, Lord, come on down. In other words, you take a special interest in me. I've got a special thing in mind here now. And he said, you made me a free moral agent. Now, what I see here and what I'm looking at is, are we truly in a neutral position so that we negate the things of the past or experiences and so on and swing into the realm of the Spirit that we are interested in achieving, which is healing? So, we're going to look at John 8 here. And this is where Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. It starts out with a woman taken in adultery. And he's absolved her completely. And he points to himself as the light of the world. And then in verse 36 he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, that sort of goes back, in my estimation, even previous to what I want to start with. But in verse 26, Jesus said, I have many things to say to you and to judge of you, to see which way you're going to go with it. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And Jesus said to them, when ye lift up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spoke these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus, those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now notice, they began to believe him. They had the original input. Now he said, look, that's good, but you've got to go on. See, that's where every denomination has failed. It organizes on what it believes to be right, and then it dies, and it never comes back. It can't, because the life moves on. See? Now he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, he's saying right here, as you come into the fullness of the word of your hour, you are going to be a real free creature, a free moral agent. They answered him and said, here's their answer. We are Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How do you say then you should be made free? And he said, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Now what happened in the Garden of Eden? They say, they're saying, hey, we're the children of Abraham. Well, just go back to the Garden of Eden. There's the children of God. How did they become the servants of sin? Turn down the word of God. That's exactly where Cain was. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. Well, that means that Jesus never ever turned down the word. Never did. Now, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, what you've got here, you've got a work of the Holy Spirit and a committal to the word by the Holy Spirit that is going to put the bride in the position that she should be in, and also to do the works of God. I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. Now watch. Because my word hath no place in you. Now watch what's the difference was. Those that he talked to had a place for the word, and the rest didn't have it. So therefore, you start with the freedom, and you increase your freedom by increasing the word. Don't you see where the Roman Catholic Church went to? They threw up the Bible and refused it. And the Protestants are doing the same thing. Now when vindication, revelation comes, there's nothing there anymore. Now you tell me that I'm wrong. You'll find out one day how right I am. Because I'm preaching exactly what the Word of God says here. Exactly what the prophet taught us. He said, you seek to kill me. Now there's many ways to kill people without hitting them over the head with a club or chopping your heads off with a sword. You can destroy their souls by a false doctrine. You can destroy life by bringing something against people's hearts that cause them to come to a place where there's no coming back. Now listen, there's no place for my word. I speak that which I've seen with my Father, and you do that which you've seen with your Father. That's startling. The answer to Abraham is our Father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. Now listen, what did the Apostle Paul say about that? He said, if Abraham hath whereof to glory, he said, according to the flesh, he said, not before God. That Abraham was a fine man, we don't have any doubts there. But before God alone, it was Abraham believed God. Even as it said concerning David, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. All right, now, with that, I want to go to John 7 and 14. and read on. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters? And he never learned any. He's got no education. Jesus answered and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man willeth to do his will, not will do his will, but willeth to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. Now you got right here then, there's got to be willingness, or you'll never know the doctrine. You got to know what is right. Now listen, remember, Cain did not want to know what was right. He never could get a revelation. Now, if you haven't got something in you that's curious to find out whether you are right or wrong, but you merely want to defend yourself because I got to be right, you're already lost. You haven't got a prayer. Now look at it. You got to be willing. You got to want to know. You've got to have some doubts about yourself and what you're into, or you never reach anywhere. That's right. They become just like the prostitute. The Bible speaks of her. She goes through her filthy act, just like a woman eating a piece of bread, wipes her mouth. That's it. Nothing to it. I'm fine. You're fine. Everybody's fine. In other words, I'm trying to show you it's an adulterous, filthy system we're living in, religiously speaking. And there's no more feeling of consequence toward God by our filthy spiritual adulteries than simply eating a piece of bread. Now that's a complacency that's in the church. And that was here. Now, do you think we're going to be different? Oh, come on. This is what really riles me up with people. You can go through history and see history repeat itself every single day for 2,000, 6,000 solid years, and they'll still try to tell you they're different. They're different. They're different. No, sirree, there's no difference. Never has been and never will be. Now, Jesus taught that. Doubtless we haven't got that far right now. He that speaks of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Now you notice right in here that this person here that has the revealed true word of God has to get it from a source outside of himself. And when he gets it outside of himself, it shows there's no unrighteousness in him. That's the evidence of baptism with the Holy Ghost or true one. And that's how people are fulfilled with the Word of God. That's why it's so important that this church smartens up as never before. That if you want something from God in your life, you're going to have to get them the sources, and the sources in this pulpit by Lee Vale, and you better pray and expect to come here to get something from God, or you will not get anything. There is a responsibility. You bet there is. There's a place where you look to a minister because they've got gifts. And you want your portion, you've got to get it in God's ordained way. And it tells you right here. Those that turned him down flat got nowhere. And he said, you're of your father the devil, and the works your father do. And they said, just a minute. We're not born of fornication. They understood serpent seed. They understood that Eve did. They knew positively. They knew all about Ishmael and Isaac. Now, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keeps the law? Why do you go about to kill me? And the people said, because you got a devil. Who goes about to kill you? And Jesus answered and said, I have done one work and you all marvel. It's, you know, the healing, what have you. Moses gave you circumcision, not because it is Moses, but of the fathers. And on the Sabbath day, you circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, the law of Moses be not broken. Are you angry at me because I made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. In other words, they couldn't put the scripture together. They couldn't do it. Then said some of Jerusalem, is this not he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing on him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ comes, no man knows whence he is. They never knew whence he came. They all thought he came from Galilee. He came from Judea, Bethlehem, born exactly right. He sees snap judgment. The judgment came because, oh, this is not something we believe, our church, so therefore we got to turn on it. Boy, listen, I tell you, we got to sweep every channel clean and block those channels from any more of that churchianity coming in under your bed. Just blow everything out that's not of God. Study to show ourselves approved. See what did the prophet really teach us. And buckle down to that. Okay. Now, we're talking about the free moral agency here, where the Holy Spirit makes us absolutely free, and we gain more and more freedom by the Word of God compacted in our lives. Now listen carefully, that your body prospers equal to your soul. How prosperous are we at this minute? That's a good question. Do we lack a great deal, or just haven't we risen to the occasion? Are we not transferring, as John told us and Paul tells us, and as William Branham told us, and we're getting from this pulpit? Are we failing to transfer? It possibly could be it. But you can see here, you can't go wrong piling word upon word upon word. You cannot go wrong saturating your life with the Word of God, because that is the conduit. In other words, you become freer and freer and freer in Christ. See, that's what we're looking at. And the freedom in Christ is to take that word that was in him and slash the devil and gain every victory until whatever the Father wanted could come right through the channel of that Son. We'll go into that sometime. I'm getting more and more information from the Lord on what I want to tell you, but I'm not ready for it. All right, let's go a little further and look at this great freedom that is spoken of in the book of Acts. And we will look at Acts 22, I think is what I want. Yes, let's start here at verse 25. This is Paul, who's a Roman citizen, who's born into the Roman Empire. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what you do. This man is a Roman citizen. The chief captain came and said, tell me, are you a Roman? He said, yes, I am. The chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." He paid to become a citizen. Paul said, "I was freeborn." And the law could not take effect on him because he was within the law. The law of the citizenship of Rome. All right, look, the price has been paid for our citizenship. We are part of the kingdom of Almighty God. Therefore, we are free members to enjoy, as is brought up by Scripture, and Brother Branham will show us later on in this message, where two or three are gathered to pray in the name of Jesus, as pertaining to anything touching the kingdom, it shall be done in them. So I think myself here what we're looking at is we're looking at the free moral agency of every single one of us that's born again and been given the truly revealed Word of God, that we're living far below our spiritual substance. So therefore, it's going to take more than a casual perusal or perusing of this Word, but to begin to actually believe it is ours and to literally glom onto it, put dibbies on it, take a firm hold upon it, and begin to use it. Now, Brother Branham goes on, and this is very peculiar because it has to be in italics. You made me a free moral agent, then you are my son. That could be then the voice of God answering back, "You are a free moral agent, my son." In other words, what you are entitled to is already set forth before you because you are a son of God. Now let's go to Isaiah 54, 11 to 17. Just to begin to see something that I think might be possibly good for us. Isaiah 54. "O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundation with sapphires. And I'll make the windows of agate and thy gates of carbuncles, thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shall they be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Thou shalt not fear, and from terror, thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." You can see a promise there given to us that we are, as the children of God, inherently have these promises for ours. And remember, when Jesus Christ died to give them to us, he rose again to be his own executor. Now, that's very important. Now, Brother Branham goes on. Here's the person now saying, "All right, I open up my heart and my mind. Come in, Lord Jesus." Then grab the faith, that sword of spirit. "Thus saith the Lord," scream hallelujah, amen, then cut down every enemy in front of you. Now, that's the charge. You know, something like the animals scream out when they charge you. The lion roars, like they do with psychologically for the psychological effect in karate. Scream out to just throw you off of balance. Well, I tell you what, remember, the shout of the Lord is in the camp. And there should be more and more of this in our lives because we are able to do it. It's a case of acting our faith. Just keep going right on. And Brother Branham said, "Cut every enemy. If an old spooky spirit making you feel all awry, cut that thing away with the word of the Lord. Like David said, 'Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God.'" He began talking within himself. "Our strength is the joy of the Lord. That is my strength. Get away from me. Whack him and cut him with the word." Okay. Now, you know that that's true because it's over here. I've quoted this many times to you, having read it. In Romans, the 10th chapter, where Paul is speaking concerning Israel, and it says here in verse 6, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart," first he goes negative, Who shall ascend in heaven, or that's to bring Christ down? Or descend to the deep, that's to bring Christ up? It doesn't ask questions. But what does it do? It gives a straightforward reiteration of what has already been given. Now notice, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart. Now notice, it doesn't come from your own mind. The word of God is just like the same word of the prophet. It does not come to his mind. It comes to his mouth. Then he hears himself say it. And it gets down inside of him, becoming a part of him. So that's what you're looking at here. Now, so what do? We take the word that's put in our mouth by the prophet. It's the word of the Spirit. It's the word of faith which has already been preached. And at that time, what is it to do? To confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead in order to get salvation. The same thing applies to healing. By his stripes we're healed. There is no difference. The promise is one and the same. All right, the next verse. Whether it be a demon, whether it be an enemy, whether it be sickness, a disease, whatever it is, take that word and pull it with the sword. And if you whack it the first time and it doesn't seem to move, whack it again and whack it again and whack it again. And keep on whacking it. That's the idea. Whack it until you chip the hole through like a little chicken peeping itself up. Now, he means the word is pecking. It's pecking itself up. Or picking up. That's usually pecking, they call it. But I think the word peeping here is valuable in the sense that it may not be such a wonderful testimony. It may even be a kind of a weak testimony. It may be just a little attempt. But the idea is to keep pecking, to keep peeping, see, until the chicken is picked out of the shell. Or he says, an eagle, for that's what you are. You're picking your way out. You're making a testimony, you just may be peeping. Peck yourself right through that old shell of sickness. Cut your way out and say, hallelujah, where's the next one? Amen. That's the battle. That's the soldier. That's the soldier of the cross. Now, what I'm looking at here, and what there's no way that you can escape it, is this fact, that one sickness, one healing, does not end it. It only encourages you for the next time around, because there could be many sicknesses. On the other hand, it could be there might not be many. We don't hear of Job getting sick ever again after he went through that one great big terrible trial. Now, there is such a thing as people going through a mighty big trial and then getting better and better until the Lord just takes them away, because they have to go sometime. But Brother Branham is warning us here, and I think this could be more our lot more than the other, because that's the way things are. It seems worse and worse on the world today. That after one battle comes another one, but don't worry about it. Just keep on moving right along until the whole thing resolves itself and we finally get to the kingdom, because that's where we're heading at this particular time. Now, in the 42nd Psalm, you'll notice here, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now this is what you're looking at. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, from the land of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer shall be unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies approach me, while they daily say, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? This will pass away. Why are you describing me? You know there's only one way out, so you better take it. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now he tells you right there what you can go through. You're going to have some pretty rough times. But you can win. You can win your battles. And that's what I'm afraid most people aren't interested in. They're interested in specifically gifts to take the place of the victories that can only come by warfare. So you got problems. Every child has problems. Some of the poor little kids, I just don't know how they seem to be ordained to suffer the way they suffer. But every one of us can go through with God. Knock out every enemy. Why? Why? We're a predestinated royal seed of Abraham. When Abraham denied everything that was against God's word, he chopped his way right through every obstacle that came in front of him. They said, your wife is too old. He just chopped the thing out of the way. Age doesn't hinder healing. The devil said, you can't do this and you can't do that. And Abraham chopped it out of the way. He whacked at it until he cut himself through. Where next, Lord? Now, that is the truth. Abraham took 25 years in getting that promise. God said, move your tent up here. He went up there and built an altar. Got up there and Satan said, now I tell you, this is not the right place. He said, I'll stay right here. Get off of my ground, Satan. Hallelujah. Now, that's Abraham and his faith. You see, he knew what God was doing with him. He knew what God had in mind for him. Now, Lot said, you better come on down here. We're having a good time down here in Sodom and Gomorrah. We got an organization down here. Why, my wife's head of the literary society, everything else did he. I tell you, you ought to come down here. And Sarah said, Abraham, what about it? He said, shut up, Sarah. Hallelujah. We stand right here. This is where God placed me, right here where I stand. Here's where God placed me. In other words, to stay with the word and don't move anywhere, though somebody says, hey, I think we got something better. No, once you're persuaded of God, keep your persuasion with God. Then Brother Branham takes a little bit of that course, all hail the power of Jesus' name, that angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. Now, we are right where Abraham was, ready for the change. And rise up to the supper and crown him Lord of all. That's why Brother Branham sang that. And he says, on Christ the solid rock I stand, revealed word. All other ground is sinking sand. That's right. Anti-word or man's own revelation. Even death itself, everything else is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, the royal seed of Abraham, the royal seed. That's true. God himself is here in the person of the Holy Ghost and the pillar of fire. Now notice, it's important that we do not confuse this with the false anointed ones. Both get the same results as to earthly promises and benefits. But we, like Abraham, are going after immortality. Now remember, unless the people can see Ephesians 1 and 17:18, there is no other answer but they're false anointed. Can I just tell you flat? Because they've turned down the Spirit of God. See, they're all looking at the thing. Oh, he's going to be up there and we're going to meet him. You meet him right down here in the form of the Holy Ghost and pillar of fire. And you see him down here manifested. Or you missed it. You can't get people to see that. Those that, why, right in our, listen, let's face it. I can tell damn many of your churches say we believe this message. You go there, you'll find how much they believe what we believe. I'm a heretic and a heathen. I'm not preaching what Brother Branham preached. I'm preaching my own thinking. They said that when the Church Age book was written too, but they were wrong. I was right. I'm still right. What's that? Tell me what it is. Brother Branham called the Shekinah glory. That's the glory attendant upon the personal presence of God. So Brother Branham lied. Everybody pretty well makes him a liar. We better not. Brother Branham himself said, every man's word be alive, and mine true, speaking of God, knowing was the word that God gave. Why, England's most selected army is the royalty of England, royal blood, everything. Royal seed of Christ is a Holy Ghost-filled church, filled with the Holy Ghost. What? Royal seed by the promise, not by sensation, but by the promise of God. They stand by the word of God and chop their way through screaming. Hallelujah. Even death comes and says, it's coming up your sleeve. Say, go away, Jordan, I'm crossing over. Cut your way right onto the promised land. What's he telling you? That's for you to believe the doctrine. You're going to be immortal. Don't give way to sickness. Say, look, this could be my generation. I'm waiting to go across. Like I said before, I've got a promise to live and not die. Let's go to 2 Timothy. The fourth chapter, I suppose, I want here. Yeah. I charge thee before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Notice he's judging the quick at his appearing and his kingdom. It's already right through. Don't preach the word. Be in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke. Exhort long-suffering and doctrine. For their time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to fables. Now that's when they've got the truth, or you couldn't turn from it. How can you turn a corner if there's no corner to turn? How can you eat apple pie if there's no apple pie in the first place to eat? And how can you turn from truth if there's no truth to begin with? So that tells you the restoration of truth has got to come at the time of the appearing. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work in advance, and make full proof of your ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departing is at hand. I fought a good fight, I've kept finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid at me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me that day, and not me only, but also them that love his appearing. Now it tells you right there that if you love his appearing, which everybody but us don't. There you are. That's the time it's going to come. I'm going over. See? See, the entire life is one big war. But one of these days, God is going to turn the battle. He's going to turn our atoms. Then you try to stop a glorified creature. As I said before, I'll say it again. In half an hour, he could turn the whole world crazy. In half an hour, own it all. Oh, my, what a day we're coming into. What happens when the battle's all over? I'm closing now, sure enough. When the battle's all over and the saints come marching home, I want to ask you something. What happened? What happened when Hitler went into France? Why, they said you couldn't even see the skies for all the planes. The Germans goose steps. He's just standing, passing by him, celebrating a great victory. He's liking the earthly victories now to what's heavenly coming. When Stalin came to Russia, four miles behind, each tank a little behind each other, just bombarded Berlin. There was nothing left of it. That's all. And when they went against those Germans, those Russian soldiers celebrating, they went in that, you know, a little funny thing they do. I saw it in the picture at one time in London, how they came. The actual picture of the thing was there. What happened? Come in celebrating. That's what he's talking about. Everybody celebrates as a victory. Oh, my. When we heard that the war was over, we screamed. We blew whistles. When the heroes came back, we met them up there. They screamed and hollered. I had a cousin who was in there, and that was in the war. He said when he came back, all the old veterans had been scarred up so bad they couldn't get out of bed, so they just rolled him up on top of the ship that's on the deck when they came into the harbor to see the Statue of Liberty standing up there. Said those great men standing there, they just cry and fall right over like that when they saw that Statue of Liberty. They'd been away from home for 4 years fighting. Battle shocked everything else, but they knew that wife and sweetheart, mother and dad and children, all they loved were right behind that Statue of Liberty. It represented what they'd been fighting for. Now what about today in the presence of God? Oh, the whistles blew and New York went into a scream. That's all when those heroes came marching in. That'll be a minor thing to what? To the second coming of Christ. But what if you miss the revelation of Hebrews 13 and 8 today? See, all right. In other words, the illustration here is the war of life from birth to death. And now we're in a war that's not going to bring us death, but is going to bring us life everlasting, immortal. One time when Caesar came after a great battle, he said, I want my most famous warriors to ride by me in this great celebration of triumph over our enemy. And every one of the officers trimmed their plumes and shined their shields and marched by, you know, like a real soldier. After a little old fella came by, all cut up, my, he looked kind of, looked up and started on like that. And Caesar said, wait a minute. You're not even dressed like an officer. He said, come on here. Where'd you get those scars? He's out in the battlefield. He said, climb up here. You're the guy I want to sit by me. Why? He showed that he'd been in battle. Oh, God, have mercy on a man that can cut his hand on a sardine tin and get a citation. That's exactly. That's exactly the truth. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the dyings of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I want to battle on the field. Someday when our great captain shall come, who armed us, who gave us the armor of God, the Holy Ghost, gave us his word to fight with, stand out there. When our great chief captain comes riding and I want to step up on the chariot and ride home with him, don't you? Then when I take my little old wife by the arm, look around here and see my brother and their wives and their children, and when we start walking down through those paradises of God, the angels filling the air with anthems and stuff like that, talk about a celebration. In other words, he's letting you know that we rejoice in the Lord. We've got good, faithfulness from God who comforts us and helps us in all our trials, but it's going to be nothing what's coming up ahead. There's no way to describe it. There's no way that you can compare what's going on today to what's going to be over there tomorrow. When the battle's over, we shall wear the crown. Oh, my. Oh, soldier of the cross this morning, pull that arm of faith out here and get hold of this weapon. What is the weapon? The weapon he gave us, which is the vindicated word of Almighty God. You see, if we ever get the vindication part really down pat and know what it's supposed to do in the realm of the passive and the active, there's going to be more activity. Right now, we know positively that because of our understanding the Word and how we stand with the grace of Almighty God in this hour, even as He is on the Father's throne, that's Christ, the Lord Jesus, the man, on the Father's throne, one day we are going to be in His throne with Him. All right. When the battle's over, we'll wear the crown. Oh, my soldiers across this morning, pull that arm of faith out here and get hold of the weapon. What about his sister, not a little girl? Are you ready? Pull that weapon out and say, God, I don't care what the devil has said to me, how much anybody else has said anything this morning, I'm believing, I am believing. Now, in the warfare of life, you have to meet each battle on its own merits, on its own ground. As I said the other day, a few Sundays ago, there a man had a dream. He dreamed the devil was a little bitty old thing, ran up and said, boo. He jumped back and the devil got bigger. Boo. And he jumped back and the devil got bigger still. Finally, the devil got as big as he was and was going to overcome him. He knew he had to fight him with something. He looked around, couldn't find anything to fight with. He picked up his Bible and said to the devil, boo. You know, he said right back, devil, that the devil, when he said boo to him, he said booed right back. The devil got a little and a little. Finally, he beat him to death with the Word of God. See, you're a soldier, aren't you, sis? Take that word and say it's written. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. I'll step, now watch, I'll step right in this tabernacle and praise God for His goodness with the rest of them. Now, what you're looking at here is John 5 and 14, which deals with the resurrection. But watch what it says first of all. Afterward, Jesus finds a man that was healed. See? And said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin not, lest the worst thing come unto thee. Now, he's saying to this girl, when you get better, which you will, you come to the tabernacle, and you praise God for your healing, and you live the life amongst the children of God. See? That's how you hold on to the promises and the blessings that God give you. Remember, years ago, there was a girl in Canada where I first pastored in Red Deer, Alberta. Her name was Wilshire. Dr. Price had gone there. The girl had polio. And when he prayed, the girl's leg came perfectly straight and normal. She said, oh, goody, now I can dance with the rest of the women. Within a few, 2 weeks, the leg was right back where it was. Because she was attempting, now I'm not saying this happens in every case, but it happened in her case, which was true, that she would not glorify God. She just wanted to serve the devil. She became very bitter. I remember her way back yonder. She's still in her crutches. See, now he tells this girl, you better look out. When you get this help, here's what you do with it. Now he prays, O Lord God, Creator of heaven and earth, let it be known today that thou art still God. No matter how much I would preach, how many things I'd say, Lord, a word from you settles it. These handkerchiefs are lying here representing sick people. I pray, Heavenly Father, your blessing and power rest upon each of them. As I lay my hands upon them, God, in Jesus Christ's name, I pray that you'll anoint these handkerchiefs with your holy presence. And he was present. For it's written in the Word, it's nothing against the Word, but it's said in the Word that they took body from the body of Paul handkerchiefs and aprons. That's why he leaned over them, see? Unclean spirits went out of the people, and they were healed of different diseases. It can be done if you have your faith in the Word. Now, we're not St. Paul, but you're still God. Now, we're not Brother Branham either, but you're still God. And you're still the same Holy Spirit. I lay my hands on these handkerchiefs in the name of the Lord Jesus and ask you that you bless and heal each one of them. And God lying over here in the bed, that's been lying here, nothing but a child, just a beautiful little girl. She can't live, Lord. Satan has done evil to her, and the beloved physicians of this earth have tried hard, no doubt, to save the child. They just can't do it. They're at the end of their wits. They don't know anything else to do. But Lord, I'm so glad there's another chapter written. We can turn another page. That's a chapter of her life. And this page, see the great physician come in. We're calling him for counsel this morning. Now, Lord, it's not written here in your word that these signs, is it not written here in your word that these signs shall follow and believe? Now, watch, Lord, if I'm not a believer, make me one now. That's good. If I'm not believing, Lord, make me a believer right now. Let's get showing, putting this word where it belongs in the perspective. If this little girl is not a believer, make her one now. He's not afraid to be humble. He shows his humility, not afraid to confess his need. Make her one now. For these signs shall follow them that believe. She's a believer and believer, see? If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. It's also written in my name, the cast of devils. Lord, these are your words. It's yours. It's your word. Now, in other words, he's bringing the awareness of the need to the Lord and to the people, but also the awareness of the antidote. Now as your servant, as you said, now watch, if there be two or three of you meet together, I'll be in your midst, and if you agree, as touching one thing, and ask, you shall receive it. Now that's a very, very important scripture to stand on. God, this child is probably the sickest person in the building this morning, because she can't live without you very much longer, and so she's the sickest. We're all agreeing, as every soldier standing here, and in this group, stands the royal seed of Abraham. Now we're all agreeing together, one mind, see? One mind on the word, fully persuaded, can launch out into tremendous things of God. And the royal seed, Christ himself, is there, the Holy Presence. There it is right there. We're marching in on Satan now. You might as well get ready to go, Satan, because our armor's gleaming, the colors are streaming, men and women holding swords, marching forward now upon you for this little girl. Come out of her, Satan. Leave that child. As the army of the living God, we defy you. Leave her in the name of Jesus Christ. I go to lay hands upon her. Now, in the same faith, we can call upon the memory, not the people, but the memory of the same faith of those that have gone on before us. As the Bible said, they without us cannot be made perfect. They are with us. You understand what I'm saying? We look back and know the Word of God, and we identify ourselves with it to get the same results. Now, he prays as he reaches her. Now, Satan, you've bound this child. You've done evil. I know you're born the match for a human being, but you're not a match for my Lord. Now, that's good. You don't come as though you got anything on your own. So I come in his name. Now, remember, in his name the Gentiles trust. Leave her, thou spirit of the devil, thou demon of sickness, come out of this child, that she may go free from this day on. I'll pronounce this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord God, you who raised the dead and proved that you are God, raise this young woman to her health and strength again, that she'll stand in this building here. Notice he keeps it right there. The devil is gone from her. You're the one that can make her well. May she live to the glory and honor of God. It has been spoken. Now, let it be done. Notice two things were there. The devil was cast out. That spirit was cast out. And then he prays to God now to heal the body. Now that the thing is gone, come healing. God will do it all. Are there others in here that want to raise their hands and say, I want to be prayed for. I'm sick. I need God. I don't know how much time we've got. We've got enough time to let the people pass by. If you're real cough this morning, I just want you to come down to the building. Just take maybe this section over here, this side alone, one section first, the back section, and we'll take them like that. Now, Brother Neville, I want you and my minister, Brother, stand over here. Take them as they come down the aisle. Now, how many of you got your armor? Now, notice he says, she's different now. Go home and be all right. Amen. Now, you and I might not be able to to say that, but I'll tell you, as though we're prophets. But we can stand just as firm with the Word of God. Oh, you soldiers, pull the sword, pull the sword, soldiers of the cross, marching on, marching on. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground sinking sand. All right, come right along. Right down to the platform. Everybody in prayer now while they pass by. Pull your sword now. Go right through. Just keep shouting. And people stay in the prayer line. They keep moving. Go away, Satan. What's the matter, soldiers? Don't you think we can conquer? We've already conquered. We are more than victors in Jesus Christ. Every devil is cast out, everything else. Now, you know, what you're looking at here is the revelation that we have in this word, that we can stick with this word that's been vindicated to us. That's where we already have gained the victory. This is the big thing. These others are the temporal, where we don't even major. But because we don't major in them, we don't turn them aside because they are part of the whole. It's the holistic gospel we're looking at for the first time. Body, soul, and spirit. Guaranteed immortal. Bypass the white throne. Just stand there as witnesses, attorneys. Now, there is something the matter with this little preacher, and he talks about Brother Kidd. Come up here. This man was sent home to the hospital just recently dying, eaten with cancer 2 years ago, prostate. There was cancer, prostate. The doctors gave him a few days later. One morning, we went up there real early. Offered prayer for him the same morning, just like with you, and they can't find a trace of it. That's right. Does more work than he ever has done. He and his little wife here have been in the field, the gospel field, for maybe before I was born. Brother Kidd says 55 years. You hear that? Brother Branham wasn't 55. 55 years. Even before I came on this earth, they were preaching the gospel. And here he is, healed at the age of about 75. 81. Brother Branham speaks again, brother. 2 weeks revival, just held 2 weeks revival. Preached every night. 81 years old, healed of cancer. All right, sister, it's your time now. Do you believe? All right, onward, Christian soldier. Sister, you, to the one of you, what are you going to do? Thus saith the Lord. What do you hang around? Why do you hang around here, Satan? You've lost out. You're coming over now. We're marching over. We're coming over now. We're marching over the promised land. What's that? What is this mountain before us they're building? Who is this stands before there? You become a plain. In other words, that's the rubble said. The mountain become a plain, and the heavy building will level down. Why? With the two-edged sword, we'll chop it to the ground. That's right. All right. Onward, Christian soldiers marching against the war, and so on. He sings that song there. Now, hallelujah. What did they do? The first thing, they went forth marching into Canaan land for Israel, to battle Israel. What was the first thing? The singers went forth first. What followed? The ark, then the battle. All right, you believe it now. We're singing onward, Christian soldiers. See, like when they like they did when they crossed over Jordan to take the land. And he's lightning the same thing today. We are marching all of us to Zion. We are going to be in the millennium. And in the meantime, everything must fall before us. So therefore, there is consequently many battles that are fought, and they're all won in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and healing is just one of those battles in there. And they sing onward, Christian soldiers, and down below he says, all that believe God say amen. And they answer amen. Hallelujah. You believe that? We are conquerors. Where is your enemy? Under your feet. Are you ready? Risen in Christ. Now it's over, sis, he said to the girl again. You believe that? You can go home. Do you feel all right? She says she feels all right now. Going to be all right. How many of you feel all right? When they shouted, the walls fell down. They took it. They took the city. Amen. You believe him? Don't forget tonight's services. Now, that closes this service this often. I'm glad I finished it. I did it very rapidly because you can more or less read that yourself and see what Brother Branham is aiming at. He's not aiming at trying to get the people all worked up in an emotional faith. But he's neither so foolish as to believe that there isn't emotion with faith. Because our religion is an emotional religion. It certainly includes joy and love and kindness and all those things that are in the emotions. And now if we truly, and which we do truly, but maybe not as deep as we must come to yet, if we truly believe and deeply believe that we are a part of this bride which has been truly and thoroughly sanctified by the Word, washed in the water of the Word of Almighty God, dressed by the same Word, then surely there must be more reverence, more respect, and yet more genuine love and glow than we're manifesting. What has happened? Brother Branham laid it all on the table. The channels that this mind, the channels that God has ordained to let righteousness or evil flow therein. Receptacles that can receive the truth or receive the lie. Comes a time we must recognize the battle is constantly fight those channels from being filled with the trash of the devil. Cut them off. Open the channels to the Word of God. Then demand that the process reverses. And instead of taking anything more on, to begin giving out. That's why he said, join in when I pray. Become a part of it. Understand this is for you. That's what we're dealing with. He said, onward, Christians, so grab the sword and march because you got something you know that works. And that's what he's trying to do is get the people, if you want to say inflamed, all right, let's get inflamed. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong at all. If people can stand back and see unmitigated hogwash and spiritual tripe and trash, and I'm not speaking now of some manifestation of the Holy Ghost and gifts. I'm talking of sheer paganism in the churches. Where they're thrilled with the pageantry and the hogwash of the enemy. The stupid flourishes of education and robes and things. They have their foundation in pure idolatry. Then what's the matter with us? There's something drastically wrong. Now, there's no use letting the devil own it all, brother, sister. He didn't come here to let the devil run the show. And I don't think that we need to let the devil run the show either. My faith is not diminished. I still take this message for my healing and everything else. It's greater than ever as far as I'm concerned. I just look around and I say, well, John the Baptist, he screamed out, that's the one. Then he had a little failing here and there. And he said, are you really the one? I don't worry about bumping my nose against the wall. I don't mind too much tripping here and there. Oh, I get plumb disgusted myself. I think, how stupid can you get? But I'm not gonna fall down a state now. The Bible said the righteous man falls seven times, the Lord picks him up every time. 7 ages the church fell flat in his face. Going to be a church that God's going to pick out of here regardless. So let's get our eyes off of ourselves and plumb unto God and the Holy Word. And this way have faith for each other. If somebody grumbles, say, hey, why don't you change your tune? I've heard that so long now, it gives me nausea. You say it to me if you like, but not in the Word now. But my grumblings about things, that's a different thing. If I complain about something, you've got every right to say that. But about this Word, you better be careful, because I'm the authority in this church on that one. I stick right with the Word of Almighty God. So that's what Brother Rand's trying to show us here. This great victory we're into, this great march of faith. And brother, sister, it is a battle. Now let's get this flat. It is a battle. And we're not going to duck it. Nope. I'm sorry. There is no ducking it. I've learned that in the ministry. I had to go back in the ministry and take every path I didn't want to take and lick every single one of them. I hated pastoring. Finally got out of it. I loved the road. Loved teaching. Couldn't hack it. Here I am back here pastoring again. Brother Brand said it's fine. I know the Lord's fine. Doing a better job than ever done. But I can't do certain things I don't do. But you see, you've got to go down those roads, brother, sister. You've got to go. We had to pray food on the table, everything else. I told my wife, I said, there'll come a day when we're so flat before God, God's got to do it, because that's where we've refused. Some of you people don't learn what I'm trying to do. Well, look, you can't learn except God does it for you, with you. I'm telling you, what you read in the Bible is to encourage you, let you know, look, the battle is there, but you can overcome, you can win. God's Word is true. And God's interested in making you and me conform to that Word. And he's going to do it, just sure as you're alive. Sure, some of the goings are tough. It's all right, let them be tough. He already told you, it's just exactly like a woman having a baby. He said, why? He said, she goes through pain, she's ready to take the top of her head off it. He said, when the baby's born, everything's wonderful. She forgets the pain, everything. Well, all right, we're forming Christ in our lives. There's a lot of pain going on. There's a lot of trials, a lot of hard work. There's a battle going on. But remember this, you can win. Comes a time when you know that there are certain things you just overcome, period, because that's the way it is. I can't explain to you. I wish I could. But there's something in here and in here. It affects the muscles of the face. Lord bless you. That's the greatest battle. You're in it. Just keep moving on. Let's rise and be dismissed. Grace, eternal Father, again, we want to praise and thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. And thank you, Lord, you helped us in this study. That we have closed it off at this time, Lord. Maybe we don't know. Say some more about it. What do you lay upon our hearts? We're glad, Lord, that you gave us the time to study it. And we know, Father, that the battle is the Lord's. We understand that. We understand that we're the children of God. We're going to stay with you while you wage victory for us. And we stay with the Word till the victory's wrought out. We realize that. But, Father, we don't realize it enough. Now, we're not babies, we're not kindergarten, we're not fools. We can realize it. Now, Father, you've taken us all so far to places where we have realized it. But we want to come to the place where it's a constant realization. Because this is the hour of reality, according to your own word in Revelation, the 3rd chapter. Reality has come. So, Lord, here we are. And because you are here. And, Father, we know together that it's absolutely a victory. May tonight, O God, our spirits change from this moment on by the revealed Word. Lord, you had to change our spirits to begin with, even let the Spirit of God come around and do something for us. And Lord, we know that there's got to be a change, change, change. May that change, change, change come, Lord, until every word becomes a welcome, not a fight, as though we're going to receive it or not, but a welcome. Piling it higher and more until it just covers everything. I pray that today, Lord, because we want to be a church individually as a bride, each one dressed by the Word of Almighty God, separated unto you by it, and a church, Lord, all saying the same thing, believing the same thing, and moving along. Now we know that it's possible because it's been set before us. It has been shown to be in your Word. We thank you for it, O God. Now unto the King, the Eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power
and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. Here's a little note, something from me here just a second now. I just can't believe that. Bill Vanderveer's house burned to the ground. Burned down, but no one's hurt. Well, they say lightning doesn't strike twice, but something struck twice there. Well, let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to help him. Heavenly Father, we know that this is a real killer for a man to have a house burned down, and yet we know that all things do work together for good to them that love the Lord. And it might seem, Father, what he's gone through previously is just a big waste, but we know, Lord, it isn't a waste. We know that, you know, Lord, as we know, I've seen it in my own life. You just stand back and just wonder, what in the world is it all about? But yet, Lord, come down the road, we find what it is all about. And the trials bring forth a peaceable fruit of the Spirit, which is tremendous. And so, Father, tonight we're just praying that right at this minute you put a peace in their hearts and their minds and an understanding that no matter what they have lost in that fire, you are more than able to give it back, not only on this side, but on the other side. And, Lord, where memories and things that they associate their past lives with no doubt have completely been destroyed. We don't know, but we suppose they've been destroyed with the house burned that way, burned down. That, Lord, you can make it that they'll realize, well, it had to go sometime. And if it's going to go now, it just beats it all to the white throne. And they can start over again with perhaps other things which are more wonderful mementos of your grace, which is far more wonderful than anything else. And your power and your goodness to them. Comfort the children, Lord. We pray and we know that you will supply. And no doubt your insurance already does it, but we can do our share too. Supplying the housing that they need and the clothing and food and all those things that are necessary. But above all, Lord, we give them our faith and our prayers to know that they can start over again. And it'll be better than ever. Just better than ever, Lord. Better than ever. We believe that, Father, you meet every single need. Everything rounded out the way it should be. So we commend them to you, Lord, as part of us in this church here. They're a part of us, and we're a part of them. So in faith now, Father, as the prophet said, and he did it that very night where two or three are gathered, we draw our swords and march on against the enemy and declare our brothers, sisters, and family absolutely free of all entanglements to come forth to a better life and a greater victory than ever before because, Lord, you are taking us on to the fullness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. The Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you.